Good morning to you.
Good morning.
2 Chronicles chapter 6. Begin with me in verse 40. We're going to read down through verse 4 in chapter 7. Last week, Brother Dane preached on 2 Chronicles 7:14. That great, that iconic passage of Scripture. If my people will call by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. That today, we're having the prequel to that verse of Scripture. Let's pray together. Now, Lord, right now, we're asking you to speak. Speak to me, Lord. I want to hear your voice today. Speak to us, Lord. We want to hear your voice. If you want to hear God's voice, say amen. All right. Lord, we're tilting our ear toward heaven now to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the setup. David is dead. Solomon has become king. Like Brother Dane shared with us last week. Solomon, the kingdom is about to stretch to its outer limit. It's huge. The amount of lands that will be encompassed for Israel. It's one kingdom. Solomon has been charged to build the temple. David asks. God let David set it up, but it would be for Solomon to build it. And here, this physical representation, this temple, his house, if you will, on this earth. They've gone to great pains. There's been no expense spared. For everything that had been stolen before or ravaged by the enemy, now God is bringing back to them. And they're going through the process. You can read. That's what 2 Chronicles begins with. 1 Chronicles ends with the death of David, and then 2 Chronicles starts with Solomon. We see that there's a lot of prayer that takes place. And now we get down to verse 40, and Solomon makes this prayer. Hear it. Now, O my God, I pray, let your eyes be open, your ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. Now therefore rise, O Lord God, to your resting place. You and the ark of your might. Let your priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. And let your godly ones rejoice in what is good. This is the king of the nation praying this prayer. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember your loving kindness to your servant David. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven. And it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the house. All the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground. And they worshiped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, truly He is good. Truly His loving kindness is everlasting. Now, God, take this passage to our hearts. Let us feel your presence. Let us act in obedience this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This is actually a one-point sermon, but I have several applications of it. And the one point is the glory of God came. Got the picture? There they are. He prays this prayer. Fire comes down and consumes sacrifice. Where else do you remember that happening? On lofty Carmel,
with the prophets of Baal. Remember that? But that was more of a throwdown. Prophets of Baal over here, Elijah over here, and the fire of God comes and consumes the sacrifice. Here, we have God answering prayer by fire. We'll get to that fire in just a moment. And then the glory of God comes in such a way. Some would call it His Shekinah glory. Comes and moves into that place. And the presence of God was so thick. Think of this. The priest couldn't get in the place. Now think of that. The presence of God being so thick in a place. His glory being there in such a way. They couldn't even get in the building. There's an application in there for us. Revival in its essence is the coming of the glory of God. It's man getting out of the way and letting God come and invade a space. Inviting His presence. Oh, He can muscle His way in. He could elbow His way in. God doesn't do that. It's not His style. He's waiting on invitation. Now, a few applications here in the story from the setup. There was much preparation that took place in the lives, especially in the hearts of the people of that day. This day didn't just arrive all at once and it happened. Just like it is in every great revival that we've seen in history that's taken place, either corporate or personal, there's always been a setup time. There's always been a ramp up. There's always been all this stuff that was going on for all this time. And then suddenly, it breaks through. And God does something that is unimaginable. And let me tell you, there's a consistency, too, about stories like that because it usually involves not just older people, but younger people are involved in it. There had been much preparation for Solomon. It didn't happen overnight. All the cost, the physical cost that took place, the sacrifice that came, a whole nation literally has tilted their whole attention toward God and preparing this place, building this temple. Secondly, there was a legacy of faith that went before. When revival comes, when a move of God comes like this, you can bet your bottom dollar there have been many people agonizing on their faces before God before that. Look at David. David was the one who wanted to, a man after God's own heart, but God didn't let him build the temple. It wasn't for him. That wasn't his job. He was part of the scaffolding. Got him ready. Tell you, a dream of mine as just a man, a servant of God, is to see that kind of move of God in my home city. Isn't it interesting that George Whitefield, the great evangelist of the Great Awakening, preached up and down the eastern seaboard, preached overseas. We saw revival, we saw moves of God, we saw people just so overcome as they listened to him. He had a booming voice. He spoke to thousands outside. And God's anointing was upon him. Isn't it interesting to you? What is he known for in Savannah, Georgia? An orphanage. That's a good thing. It was a good thing that we got an orphanage, 1740 Bethesda. But I want to ask you, was it the best thing? I'm here to tell you today that a malady of this city, a stumbling block of this city, has always been compromise. It's always been expediency. Those have always got in the way. Let me tell you, the church in Savannah, Georgia, meets today separate. You're behind your wall over here. You're behind your wall over here. Occasionally, somebody will throw a little gospel grenade over the wall, kind of stir things up a little bit. Wouldn't you like to see more in Savannah? I'm trying to get you to think big today. Macro, outside of yourself. And to be part of that. To be part of what God's doing in the earth. Can He do it in Savannah? Let me tell you, there's a question that's got to be asked before that. Can He do it in you? Can He do it in me? Can He do it in our church? In this body of believers? I don't believe in my deepest heart of hearts that God went to all the trouble to bring this body of believers out of nothing and set us apart for His work in the earth, and it not be for more than we've seen Him do so far. But who's standing in the way? It's not God. It's not God. A legacy of faith. Let me tell you, there's a legacy of faith. There are people, men and women, that have been on their faces for their whole lives in generations that have gone before us here in this city. And they prayed for what we're talking about here. Just imagine with me for just a minute. All the junk that's happening and all the division that's happening around our country right now as people are divided. What if we turned loose and God came and He brought us together in Jesus? Man, you talk about the news media, they wouldn't be able to explain it away. Because it'd be like wildfire. You ever seen a wildfire? Now, we had no danger last night. Those fireworks were on a barge. All the safety precautions had been taken. It was separated from land. All it was going to do is burn down right there. Hey, but they got the barge back to the dock. Years ago, I was living in the middle of Georgia. I decided on a windy February day. You like this? How many firemen we got here? All right, so I decided I'm going to burn some trash and pine straw and leaves. And so I light it up, and then about 20-mile-an-hour winds begin. And that fire got away from me. I was shaking in my boots. I knew what to do. It was headed toward... I had these two side-by-side shops. They were both 12-by-12 buildings that had been used as offices at a construction site in town. And we got them for a song. And they made a great shot. I should have put them together. But they were side-by-side. And I had all of my woodworking stuff, lawnmowers, everything. And that fire was headed toward that stuff. Oh man! And then beyond that is the house next door. And I thought, oh man, I'm pastor in this little town, and I'm going to become not famous but infamous. And I pray. I said, God, help me! I need your help. Got the hose. Was able to put it out. Let me turn it around on you. What if the fire of God got loose, and Satan is the one standing there with the water hose and said, I want to put this thing out in Savannah, Georgia, and he can't. How about that? That put a smile on your face? Where he's got to watch the church burn out of control. Wouldn't you like that? Number three, they're bathed in prayer. Man, this is the peak of Solomon's prayer life. Here. It's downhill after this. Because he begins to compromise and he begins to invoke expediency in his life. At the end of his reign, the kingdom divides into two, the northern and southern kingdom. But at this point, the nation, the king, the priests, they are bathing all of this in prayer. Never been a move of God in the earth that was not preceded by, baptized in, immersed in prayer. And for some of you, I'm looking at some of you that have prayed for a long time. I'm speaking things right now that you have spoken have been from your lips to God's ears so many times, and you have asked God for it. And you have said to Him, Lord, why not now? And I'm saying out loud, I'm announcing it before the kingdom of darkness today. But in the presence of Jesus in the kingdom of light, why not now? Bathed in prayer. Somebody, you, right where you sit, right where you live, you have access to the very throne room of God. He'll do what we can't. He has power that we do not possess. I was backpacking years ago before I got married in college. We were backpacking. We were doing the whole Smoky Mountain National Forest, 70 miles of it, with a fellow who would later become my brother-in-law. And it was summertime. We got cold one night. We're building a fire and trying to build one. And these other campers come in, they say, with us, and they're hikers, and they said, you know how the rangers build fires? They're professionals. I said, well, no, I hadn't thought about it. They said, we were hiking up here, not on the Appalachian Trail, but on another trail, and it was the middle of winter time. We shouldn't have been up here. We were freezing to death trying to start a fire. Said, and the ranger came up. There was a road nearby, and he had seen us go by, and he walked up there to where we were, and we said, well, we're having a problem. We can't get this fire. Can't get the fire started. He said, pardon me. I said, I'll help you with that fire. He walks back to his truck, comes back with a 5-gallon can of gas and matches. Guess what? They had a fire. Well, wouldn't you like to see God do that to Savannah? Because we'll get to that in a minute. Number 4, obedience to the Lord was evident. God said it. Solomon was doing it. The people were doing it. And you see that there is this corporate obedience. Let me ask you this. When you are disobedient, does it affect anybody else in your life? Let me tell you who it affects. It affects every single person in your life. I do nothing in secret. You might as well put it on the evening news. No better than that, Facebook. Have a picture of you. Because everything, we do nothing. We think that we are independent operators. That is a lie. That's a lie hot from hell. Comes back to the question we asked it earlier today. Who is our neighbor? We're connected. My disobedience affects everybody in my life. My obedience affects everybody in my life. My little grandson, Finley, I've noticed he's picked up some vocabulary words from Poppy. I won't tell you all the vocabulary words he's picked up from Poppy, but he's learned a few. Guess what? I affect his life. And the deeper the relationship goes, the more the effect. Number 5. Fire came first and consumed everything. That's the way it is with God. He burns off all the dross. When I was a teenager, had learned to drive, my dad, who was an electrical contractor, which is good to see you here, Dad, today. In December, 1st of December, sometime around Thanksgiving, last November, he would give me and my brother the scrap copper from the year before. He'd save that copper on a pile. He'd just throw it out at the where he kept his equipment and all. And it'd be in a pile. He'd have just a little length of copper and all. But after a while, you know, a whole year, you get quite a pile of copper. You know where the story's headed? What do we do with that copper? Oh, that's money. That was Christmas money every year. We douse it with gasoline, put the match to it, and burn the insulation off of it, which is probably the worst thing we could have done for the environment, because all that insulation burning, we'd let that thing burn down that day. The next day, we'd come back the truck up, we'd shake that copper, that all that wire off, and what would be left? Nothing but copper. Because what had the fire done? It had burned away all the stuff. You see? When we say sacrifice, they made a sacrifice before, read it just a moment ago, and you can read on, you see all the animals that they sacrificed. Thousands and thousands of animals. They were sacrificed on that day. But with that, when we commit ourselves to God, we commit ourselves to God, burn out of me everything that doesn't look like you. And He takes it away. And what's left? The purity of our commitment to Him. Is anything needs to be burned out of you today? Where's Stephanie? You overheard me say something last night I shouldn't have said. I apologize. Maybe you don't even remember. I spoke out of turn. Wrong. Holy Spirit, as soon as it came out of my mouth, Holy Spirit said, wrong. Are you willing? See, the prize on the other side is the purity of that commitment. Man, we load that stuff in the truck, drive down there. Of course, first time we did it, I told Vic, stay in the truck. I went in and made the deal. Confession again. I gave him $20. Man, I've suffered for that for years. I get that story hung around my neck every holiday. We're together. Fire comes first. And then number six. Then the glory came. When God saw this, He saw the obedience of the people. He saw their sacrifice. He saw their willingness. He saw their commitment. He saw what was in their hearts. He wasn't just looking at their actions. Now, let me tell you, they could have sacrificed all this stuff, done all this stuff, and the heart still be wrong. You know, that's like a man fooling around on his wife, coming home with gifts of jewelry and thinking that's going to make it okay. Oh yeah, she'd like to have the gifts, but what does she want most of all? His true fidelity, his commitment in his heart to her. And then the gifts mean something. The gifts don't mean anything without a heart, do they? Do they? Yeah, that's what I'm praying for. That's why I'm preaching this message today. That's why we've been talking about revival. Everything we need as a body of believers is locked up in this concept. Are we willing to let God move in our life? And here's the thing. When the Lord said, I'm going to move in, what was there room for after He moved in? Huh? He came in. And there wasn't room for anything else. That's the way it is with our life. When He moves in, He moves in to me and to you. There's nothing left. Because we're full of Him. And then our actions become the plan and the work of God. Last thing. So, when is the glory of God coming to you? Playing in a theater near you, but when is it coming? When is He coming to you? I'm not talking about partial commitment. I'm talking about whole hog. I'm all in, Lord.
It's not just one day for me. Or, yeah, I attended church on Sunday and a worship service and, yep, check that off my list. Then I can go live like hell the rest of the week. I can live my life where He's willing to come and to show us how to live the rest of our lives. I told you the story at the very beginning of this series. And I'll tell it to you again. Please pardon. Just to remind you, put it together. At the turn of the century, from the 19th to the 20th century, Wales in the British Isles was a rough place. They had left their first love. And people began to pray. They began to ask God to do what they couldn't do. It was a small group. They'd had these groups called tarrying groups. And simply what it was, it was a prayer meeting that just went on. They'd get together and pray, ask God to come. And He did. And a lot of the Anglican fellowship there that at that time and in some other places, they used something called they called it an anxious seat. It'd be where a person would come and sit and just pretty much let them know. And as far as I understand history, they did a lot of different traditions. But a young Welsh girl, she's a teenager, probably 13, 14 years old, she came and she sat in the anxious seat. And that meant, I want to hear from God. I want to hear His voice. He's speaking to me, and I want people praying for me. Let me tell you, God came. It's said that the great Welsh revival took place. And it was at such a point, like I told you weeks ago, do you remember the story? That there was confusion on the streets of Wales because of what? Because the animals that were pulling the wagons couldn't understand their masters because the master's language had changed so much by the great move of God, they were not laced with all these expletives that the dumb animals couldn't understand what the people were saying. And so there's confusion on the street. So revival caused confusion in the culture. Wouldn't you like to see some confusion like that come to our culture? Wouldn't you like to see it happen in Savannah? But it all happened with this little girl. A teenage girl. The least of that society of that day. And God decided to begin it with her. So how about you? Are you willing to let God bring His glory to you? Whew. Let's bow our heads. We open the altar now. Some of you may want to come on and pray now. God's touched you. Wants to, you know He's speaking to you. Get somebody else. Come pray. Let's begin now to pray. Pastors and our wives will be here to pray with you if you'd like somebody to pray with you. But the altar is open. Now, Spirit of God, we're asking You, move in us this day. May we be obedient to what You're doing in the earth. All around the world, Lord, there are groups of believers. They're sold out. They're young. They're old. They're middle-aged. They're of every culture. They're of every stripe. They're of every color of skin. Lord, they are one in You today. Come now. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Can you say that out loud with me? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. The altar's open. Okay, look this way, if you will. I think I know what I preached today.
But I don't know what you heard. That's always an interesting thing to me. What happens in that Holy Spirit transaction that takes place? So I'd like to hear from you. You got my personal email address. It's been the same since dirt. I mean, since Al Gore invented the internet. It's drmdr@comcast.net. But we also have a church address, Sycamore Church. We'd like to hear from you. I want to know what you heard. I want to know what God spoke to you today. Because I believe He did a lot of speaking today in a lot of ways. Because one of the things that God has given to us is he lets us do is sometimes I can't see a thing. And when I'm preaching, I can't see. But other times, it's like the Lord lets me look right into your heart. He did a lot of that today. I want to hear from you, okay? All right? And let's go out of here and smile a little bit. At least act like you're saved. Okay? You like that one, James? There's more where that came from. I got a million of them. All right. Let's pray and we'll go. And maybe by next Sunday, Brother Gary will be prepared with his new instrument. All right. We're waiting. 2 weeks from today, what?
Camp Sunday.
Huh. That's right. No showers for how many days do you have to not shower? But the difference is we don't have that highly chlorinated water to disinfect in. All right, let's pray. Lord, send us out now. The power of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus, living under the authority of You, our Father. Amen.